Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and links we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Keon needs food badly.
Like what?
Hey!
Hey.
Welcome, my geeklings. Did you miss us?
I started it without you knowing.
We missed you.
You started without
us? I knew you
started.
I started
the recording.
Yeah, because I just sit here and say, welcome, my geeklings, over and over and over until he turns it on.
Just hoping.
Praying.
So I got to mention, we have a new thing up on our site where you can click and you can show us where, the listeners can show us where they're listening from.
I was going to mention that in the Geek Mail.
I love that thing.
Isn't that shocking?
Can I tell you, I posted this before. In a past show, I have commented that geeks, by and large, are not the most attractive demographic. But unless our listenership is posting somebody else's photographs, I was wrong.
Yeah.
And have you seen the MySpace?
Geeks On. Listeners who aren't fugly.
Yeah.
Have you seen the MySpace?
I saw it briefly. On? I didn't have a chance to go back.
There were like
that.
70 people. And now,
what?
Now, some of these people, I think they just join every single friend that they can find.
Okay.
Because some of them are like, you know, hot, goth, call me anytime types.
Okay.
And I'm like, wait a minute. I think there might be trying
I think we need more hot, goth, call me anytime listeners.
Trust me. If all these people are real listeners, then we've got a crazy crowd.
Geeks On is very goth friendly, you know.
I know. No, we have all sorts of
your
like,
ex-roommate.
But I mean,
goth.
Did you see?
I don't know if she listens.
Did you see, like, we had people from all over the world, which was just so shocking.
Wait. I only saw when it was the United States. Is it now worldwide?
You just have to pull back. Zoom out.
Europe.
See the stuff that's
Australia. I think, wasn't there one in Singapore?
We have Singapore.
I've got to send
to my dad. I was like, wow. Because, I mean, a good percentage of them were from, you know, I mean,
we even have listeners in Canada.
Yeah, well.
Oh, my gosh.
They have power in Canada? Must be like maple syrup run computers.
But it was like, you know.
Nice done.
7% or something. I mean, that's pretty high.
Yeah, that's odd.
Well, then before we move on, this brings up something I wanted to talk about.
We should probably introduce ourselves first.
You think?
You're the introduce guy.
Well, because we have new listeners every week. They have to know who the hell we are.
Okay, Don, go.
I'll go first. Hi, my name is Don. I am a video game professional and a writer here in Hollywood, California, and I am a geek.
My name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a filmmaker and graphic designer here in Hollywood, and I am a geek.
My name is Peter Robinson, and I am a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
And I am Matt Yang King, an actor here in Hollywood, and I am thoroughly a geek.
So a geek.
Woo! Well, before we move on the news, just to get some people thinking about this, I know that like fans of certain shows and books and other podcasts, they call themselves certain things. Like Trek fans have Trekkers and Trekkies,
right?
And
right.
Serenity people have brown coats,
right?
And so, like, what are the people called who like listen to us?
Geeklings.
Geeklings.
So is that going to be official?
Yeah.
Like we're all geeklings now?
I think so.
You know, Don?
Kind of stuck.
Yeah. You
know? All right. I'm fine with that.
What are Superman fans?
Red capes?
Red capes?
I don't know. Kryptonians?
How was your geek week, by the way, Aaron?
Mine was pretty good. I got Battlefield Modern Combat for the Xbox,
nice.
Which is running right now.
Nice.
But I haven't been able to play too many times. Peter and I kind of dorked around with it a little bit.
Okay.
I haven't gone online. I really want to play. But we got our Xbox group back together, and we're going to start playing here soon.
I saw that. That's very exciting.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to pick up Battlegrounds. I'm hoping for Battlegrounds 2 this weekend.
I got the email. I'm just so busy I can't breathe.
Read the email. Okay. Hey, what about your guys' Geek Weeks?
Well, I know we're supposed to be very brief this week. So
I just want to get to our
No, we're supposed to wear briefs this
week.
Well,
Monday I had breakfast. And it
what
was
What kind
eggs?
Of breakfast?
Mushrooms and basil.
That sounds good.
A little Asiago.
All right, anyway. Yeah.
And that's when Aaron shot him, Your
Honor. I didn't know it was loaded.
No, you know, it's just been a busy week working, you know.
Crazy.
I mean,
yeah, same thing with me. Just a long work week at work. But I discovered where my priorities lie this week.
What are they?
It was fascinating. I never thought I would be faced with this sort of choice in my life. Right? I was forced to choose due to monetary constraints between Civilization 4.
Dum dum dum.
My greatest passion in life.
Yes.
And Soul Calibur 3.
Oh.
What was also not supposed to be my greatest passion
it's
in life.
It's kind of like the decision between Alien and Aliens. Action?
Or horror.
Or suspense horror.
And you went?
Unfortunately, it was slightly cheaper and they accepted my trade-ins for it, so I ended up getting Soul Calibur 3.
Aliens wins again.
Yeah.
Now, Civ 4,
And
though.
I say unfortunate.
Oh, was it bad?
Soul Calibur 3 is a very, very sore disappointment
That's
for me.
That's because you haven't played me yet.
Ha-ha. You won't like it either.
Oh, really?
It's jerky. It's nowhere near as smooth as Soul Calibur 2. The graphics look small and childlike. Mm. The costume designs are very nice. I'll give them that much.
Okay.
But like, you know how like when you're playing Zhang Hua, right? You'll watch her stab up, and then you watch the wrist flick down, and she drives the sword down.
Okay.
In Soul Calibur 3, it's a stab, and then the sword is down low.
They're skipping animation. I thought they were supposed to increase the frame rate and stuff. Like
I was hoping, but I'm going to blame it on PS2. I'm going to blame it on it being a PS2 only game
that it can't keep up.
I'm hoping that when they finally buckle under and put it out on for Xbox, that it will improve vastly. But right now, I grieve for the future of fighting games.
Frightening.
Virtua Fighter, you are the only hope left. Tekken has gone the way of the dodo. Soul Calibur has now gone the way of the dodo. Virtua Fighter, save me.
What about Rumblin' Roses?
I bought that two weeks ago.
Is that what it's called?
I bought that for $12.
The second one's coming out for Xbox 360.
Oh.
Extra boob bounce.
Oh.
Kick ass.
So, Don, I got a question. I got two questions for you.
Okay.
Did I see in that game that you can actually create your own characters?
Yes, you can.
Can you create their abilities as well, or is it just a character that looks differently?
Well, so far what I've seen is the character design options you have at start are extremely limited and boring.
Okay.
They look bad. The big comparison that I've been hearing people talking about between the characters you can design at start and an existing video game is Battle Arena Toshinden.
I don't know what that means.
It's an early PS game.
Okay.
Not PS2.
That was like
PS
the first...
Game.
That's the reason why I bought the PlayStation. That was awesome.
Yeah. At the time.
Yeah.
But at the time. As you play on, you unlock more costume options. Mm. But the first ones, that, like the different... Mm. Outfits you can use don't mesh together very well. They look stupid if you try and mix
them. It's like one of those bad flip books with the heads that don't fit on the body.
So it's like you have a dancer's outfit and you have a ninja outfit. And if you try and mix the two, they don't look right.
Well, I don't like dancing
But as
ninjas.
You play forward, you unlock more costume pieces. And I'm being told you can make cool-looking costumes.
Now, outside of just costumes, though, can you pick the abilities that your characters have?
Well, so far, no. What happened with me is you have six different character types that you can start with, going from, like, priest... to ninja, to dancer, to barbarian, you know, all of these, and knight. And depending which one you pick at start, you have one weapon style and one weapon available to you.
Okay.
So me liking my fast, dodgy characters, I made a dancer character. Okay? Mm-hmm. Your starting weapon style is tambourine.
What?
Tambourine.
What?
To the point where you gotta be able to walk up, my lord. You can't understand that.
Small sword, bigger sword.
But if I could show
bigger.
You the animation for your tambourine, like the fighting looks fine.
Mm-hmm. But you're hitting people.
If you're
with a
using a tonfa, it would look great. Mm-hmm. But one, you're hitting him with a tambourine.
There should be a fan.
Does it go?
Okay. Now, I have to do this as a visual demonstration
but wait,
to the rest of you.
Does it make a tambourine sound when
yes,
you
it
hit
does.
Kick ass?
It does. But the animation, your deadly fighting stance animation, is this.
Okay, Don.
Don! Stop! I'm sorry.
I hate to do that to you, but that's what you have to watch if you make this character.
Don waving his hands above his head, looking like the Macarena on crack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was furious. Mm-hmm. I was very angry.
Right. You so also looked at Civ 4. I mean, you checked out the box, right?
Yes.
You investigated it.
Yes.
How does it look? I mean, it
looks wonderful.
Did they add, like,
the average great reviews?
If I recall correctly, the game rankings rating for it is 9.5.
You chose poorly.
Game rankings gave it a 9.5. That's the compilation and average of reviews across the board from all the major magazines.
Okay.
I've never heard of a game getting 9.5.
Yeah.
Now, is this a PC-only game?
For now, yes. And I don't believe there's ever been a console version of
it.
No,
there hasn't.
Yeah,
but it'd be hard.
But
it is.
It does come out on Mac eventually, all the time.
Okay.
In my opinion, there has never been another game that has approached the game design of Civilization.
Yeah, Civ runs so well. I mean,
great.
Yeah.
All right, and to close out the Geek Week, Pro Side, Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, just a fantastic freaking game.
Yeah.
Con Side, my show got canceled.
What?
My show got canceled. I'm off the air.
Which one?
Strong Medicine. Done. Gone. Goodbye.
But the other one's still on?
Numbers will be, but they haven't called me in months, so.
Now, the thing is, what's happened is the studio now has a new executive.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Strong Medicine was up 33% for the year.
33%
for the year? Is it their top show? Or
top show.
It is their top show.
On Lifetime.
And she's come in and decided that she wants to change things around, so she's canceling their top show.
That will change things.
I've seen that before.
Yeah, it never works.
It's
well.
Nothing new. It sucks. It just hurts in this case.
That's what scuttled your sister's show, isn't it?
Yeah.
What was the name of that show?
Kevin Hill.
Oh, Kevin Hill. Right, Kevin Hill. Yeah. I mean, it was their top-rated show, and they scuttled it because of a change in management, I think.
Yeah, it's just not the right way to go about doing things.
Hollywood. Yeah. How about some geek news?
Geek news.
Who wants to go first?
Geek news.
Who wants to go first?
I've got one.
Kick ass.
Well, this is a story about a personal laser.
No.
Like, it's actually a gun. It's like a laser gun.
Does it just gun that shoots... Lasers.
Right.
I've had one of those. It was called a photon gun, man.
No, that would be a gun that shot photons.
This shoots
lasers.
Yeah.
Photon came out before laser tag, and it was the same technology.
This one is like laser tag, but it's non-lethal.
Oh.
It's called a phaser.
Well, in
short for personal halting and stimulation response. You shoot it at somebody, and it blinds them. They cannot see the direction.
Wait, you have to shoot them in the eye?
I've been trying to figure that out. I've read a couple of things and I cannot figure out.
Save yourself some money and buy a squirt gun. It does the same bloody thing.
This thing shoots
squirt
long
gun with
range.
Acid.
There you go. Or holy water.
Well, yeah, if it's a laser or urine. Gun, it has an infinite distance.
You guys have to check out the picture because this looks like it's been designed by a science fiction art director. I mean,
pass it around.
That right there is a sci-fi weapon. Period.
That does.
But
look,
you gotta shoot him in the eye. What's the point?
Yeah, I gotta say, this is like,
hey,
this,
man,
this gun looks like bazooka
online?
Size.
If you're Calamity Jane, it's a great weapon for you. But other than that,
it's a bazooka-sized weapon that if you hit them in the eye with it,
exactly.
Oh my god!
Now
forget about hitting them in the eye with it. Just club them with it like a baby seal. It's more effective.
You might be able to hit vehicles and stuff, and it just illuminates the whole vehicle and blinds.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Or it might hit the body and just illuminate the entire body.
Now,
so,
does it create permanent retinal damage, or
they say no. Although they do say, I believe somewhere in here that if you get too close, it can hurt somebody.
Yep.
So yeah.
Well,
yeah,
if you hit them with it.
But there'll be a link, and you guys should check out at least what it looks like. And it looks like it's also on tripods.
And by the way, if Matt and Don give their links to me, there will be a link to their news stories too this week.
Yeah, nice. Since they don't give up their links.
I thought I mailed it to you.
Nope.
Well, you should have mailed me and told me I didn't mail it to you.
I'm not your mother, Don. If I was your mother, I would be burning your comic books.
Oh, wow. Here's the line, Peter. Come back. Come back.
Hold on. I'm going to pull down my belt so that I actually have some breathing room here.
All right, Peter, what's your new story?
Okay, so they've discovered two additional genes that tie to dyslexia. Now, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I am dyslexic. So,
yeah, me too.
Are you really?
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I did not know that.
I did not know that you were dyslexic.
Yeah.
I thought it was just silliness.
Yeah, it's called dyslexia.
Ah.
So for those people that don't know much about dyslexia, it often manifests in ways that makes it difficult to read. Now, in my case, my parents were able to catch it really quite quickly, so I really don't have been, you know, it doesn't really affect my reading. This is, by having identified these genes, they think that they're going to be able to create tests where they can test babies and figure out if they have dyslexia.
Fancy.
And
so you can terminate the pregnancy then.
Oh, absolutely. Come on.
Radical.
You know, just nice. or just wait and club it like a baby seal, you know.
With that gun.
Yes, there you go. No, but when the baby's born, they can take a little swab, take some saliva, and they'll find out if it's dyslexic. So then they can treat the child very early and you know, potentially.
Gene therapy. With ether. Oh, sorry.
Is that ether?
Ether
was
he was talking about. Don says misconception.
I'm aphasic.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but it's a great out.
But I thought that was really cool.
There's all these like crazy gene stories, you know, genetic gene stories, like every day. Like the group of people they found who are immune to the HIV virus, and they're descendants of the same people who developed immunity to the Black Plague.
Really? Oh, I read about that. Yeah.
I mean, just weird stuff keeps popping up. Like
that's
every
a new
day.
Story.
So wait, these are like people that just develop immunities to everything. I want to be one of these people.
Heck yeah.
Well, it's specific.
There are reasons for everything. I mean, the whole like African Americans. I don't know if it's African Americans or Africans, but they have a predisposition to the sickle cell anemia.
Right.
Right. But there's lots of arguments around saying that may be a defensive trait against something else entirely that we know nothing about.
Yeah, right. Asians have a very specific defense against various forms of cancer, but really, really catch other various forms.
Exactly. So I keep wondering if, like, you know, oh, we found dyslexia. We can prevent dyslexia by altering this gene from this point on. And then all of those people die of the chicken pox, you know?
Right. Well, one of the things is, I mean, I've heard at least, you know, maybe this is just one of those urban legend things, but they say that a lot of dyslexics have actually been, you know, brilliant people in the past.
Yeah. I mean, every dyslexic I know has had, like, a few ticks on the IQ charts, higher than most.
Oddly enough, that hasn't really held true for in this room. But,
right.
I mean, you know,
other than you guys.
I've actually had the opposite experience.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So,
well, maybe you know them.
It was a little different.
Matt, what do you got?
George Takei is gay.
Oh, my.
Oh, no.
Didn't he hit on you one time?
Yes, he did. And
so you knew that for a while.
That's why I'm bringing this up.
He's been out for freaking 15 to 20 years.
Matt's been chomping at the bit to tell this story on Geeks On for so long.
I wanted to out him because he has not been out for – he just –
he's George Takei.
Why did I know this 20 years ago?
He's an icon for Asian actors.
I don't know. Why did you know this 20 years ago?
He's an icon for Asian actors. You don't want to drag him down or drag him out.
I love, though, the beginning of that old Star Trek video game. Like, the first time I ever heard a voice in a video game was Sulu.
Oh, my.
Welcome to board, Captain.
Yes. But, yeah, he hit on me 5 years ago when I was doing a show. I came outside of the show. He was there. He had really enjoyed the show. There was a mention of Star Trek in the show, and I remember him laughing during the show, going, and we finish up the show, and I had been well-nigh naked in the show, and he looks at me and he goes, "You're a wonderful actor, and I'm so glad that it's wrapped in this wonderful package." And I went, "Did Mr. Sulu just say I have a wonderful package?"
Oh, my.
But actually, I mentioned this to a guy on set, Josh Cox, on Strong Medicine today, and he came up with four things that possibly could have been said on Star Trek, now knowing that Sulu was gay.
Okay.
They are as follows.
Is this another geek horned on our show? He's making up
He's coming up with material.
Okay.
The first thing was, "Captain, I'm seeing a small, attractive Asian man in my tricorder setting course to intercept." That's the first one. The second one is, if they're going down on the away team, you know, down to the planet. This is the old
going
Star Trek.
Down on the away team?
Yes. Well, "If you're nice to me, I might be able to get you a different colored shirt for the away team."
I like that. That's funny.
Yeah. That's a good one.
This is if he's looking in the mirror, getting ready to go onto the bridge. "T'Pau, set phasers on stunning."
No.
Yeah.
All right.
T'Pau.
No.
Yeah. And the last one, which I thought was genius. "Spock, if I may, Pon Farr could be nearer than you think."
Come on.
Pon Farr.
Yeah,
I thought it was perfect. But he's in Equus, and actually he mentions in his
article.
We're going
to go see it.
He's in Equus here in Los Angeles. East-West Players.
East-West Players. He endorses East-West Players. He says he's been with his
partner. I thought you were going to say he's an
Andorian. He's an Andorian.
That's a great idea for Equus.
he's 68. He says he's been with his partner for 18 years. He's a good guy, and he's endorsing East-West Players, and he's trying to get people out to see it. So go see the show.
It's all good. It's all good.
I heard a joke on something. I don't know, remember Leno or something, where they were like, he said he didn't want to come out because it might limit the parts he was getting. And they're like, wait, what has he been in the last 20 years?
Oh, that's so sad.
That's hurtful.
Well, it is a little hurtful,
but I think, you know, in fact, I was wondering, like, why now? And I think part of it is, I think he's now realized that he isn't going to get a spinoff show.
Yeah.
He's not going to be Captain
That was
Sulu.
My thinking, too.
Oh, that would
maybe
make
I
sense.
Heard that from you, actually.
Well, it's...
So maybe he was... That could be completely accurate, then. You're right.
It's because it's effed up, and Shatner's revenge is complete. I mean, you know, Scotty's dead, Bones is dead, Shatner's got an Emmy, and Sulu's left doing Equus in 99-seat theater in South Los Angeles.
Oh.
That's so sad. Come on.
The Shatner.
It's a very respected 99-seat theater.
Yeah, well...
Dom, you got some news for us?
I do. Since Halloween has just passed, I figured this news article here discussing the most popular way to die in horror movies seemed very appropriate.
Really?
Sharp objects, apparently, is the way to go.
That's my pet peeve way of killing off of somebody in a movie.
What? Stabbing them with something?
No, is...
The impaling?
Yep. For some reason, people believe that's the ultimate way to kill the main bad guy. It's moronic.
Oh, and this one, it's not talking about the main bad guys. It's talking about everybody, including the main bad guys. Going from over 100 movies of the most popular horror movies produced since 1975, it found more than 1,700 violent acts, with nearly 25% of them being impaled.
Mm-hmm.
So one out of every four people gets impaled in this thing.
Lame.
The most violent film was 2003's Freddy vs. Jason, with 167 violent acts, according to the site. Steven Spielberg's 1975 film Jaws came in a surprising second, largely because of the number of times the great white shark chomped into its victims.
What? They were counting bite per bite.
Please. And honorable mention went to Tim Burton's 1999 Sleepy Hollow, which featured 27 beheadings.
Yeah, not bad.
Mm-hmm. Now, I thought...
See, but that's the inverse Hollywood rule, is the worse the bad guy is, the worse his death usually is.
Yeah.
The more he's
likely
to.
But impaling's not the worst death. It's dumb.
Have you ever seen Cliffhanger?
Yeah.
No.
There's a Sylvester Stallone movie where he's, you know, and I think he picks somebody up and he impales them on stalactites in the ceiling.
Oh,
from what I remember. I'm not sure whether or not I'm
What's the most gruesome death you've ever seen in a movie? Most
gruesome death in a movie.
I think for me, I have to stick with Raiders of the Lost Ark melting in front of the Ark of the Lost Covenant.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. I was going to actually say the same movie, but it's the death that I imagined that the guy who he was fighting in the fist fight with the propellers.
The fan death?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the most gruesome death I've ever seen in any movie, I'd have to say, is Saving Private Ryan. When that guy's being stabbed.
Oh,
and he
God.
Goes,
that
shh,
is
shh,
shh, bad.
And he's quieting him down as he's stabbing him to death. So
slowly goes
ultra slowly.
Quite frankly, the death of the guy who just gets shot and they have to put morphine in his leg in that same movie is probably one of the most horrific death scenes.
Yeah.
And that's...
with the medic?
Giovanni
Ribisi. Isn't it interesting that the examples being given here are not from horror movies for the most part?
Not at all.
Yeah. I have another Halloween story.
Peter, do you have one?
We skipped Peter.
How Joe Dante's career was really kind of...
Moving on.
No, Gremlins. Sorry, Gremlins. When they the various ways that they kill the little gremlin creatures.
Uh huh.
You know, microwave, explosion. Those things.
Oh,
were pretty, you know,
that's pretty good. That's true.
I have a Halloween costume story. This guy spent some serious time. He went as a At-At Walker here's a picture here.
Wow.
Of him, you know, laying down there. But
that's impressive.
He built this whole thing. Here's a whole bunch of pictures of how he built it. It's him standing up there. The website shows kind of briefly, it doesn't give you step by step how he built it, but it shows you a lot of pictures so you can see the details and how he did do it. So you probably could recreate it.
That is frighteningly impressive.
He put, he mounted, iPod speakers in there and put a miniature iPod in the back. So it played the, Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, nice.
Theme going, the Imperial March as he walked and had that.
That's awesome. So that's awesome.
Anyway, we'll put a link to this because the pictures are pretty cool. The guy spent a lot of time. He deserves. Did you also see that hanging below is Luke Skywalker on a cable?
I totally didn't see that.
There's a little close up. So
that's terrible.
He's climbing up, about ready to put a grenade.
Oh, that's genius! I love it.
Yeah. Anyway,
back when Star Wars.
Not really
was
news,
good.
But it is definitely worth checking out.
True.
So.
Sorry. Most off tune Star Wars music ever. Go ahead.
Wait. What's the notes? The Masters of Horror.
Wow, you guys are still on a horror theme.
Horror.
Horror, too.
Horror.
Okay, horror.
Well, it was yesterday, so we're still not over it. Yeah.
Masters of Horror was is a new show. It's on Friday night, and I think it's on Showtime. Let me double check that in a second. But anyway, it's 13 of the best horror directors doing one-hour shows.
Okay. Can we pick the best directors, or is HBO picking them?
They've already been picked. It's like John Carpenter and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So anyway,
it's the blah, blah, blah I'm worried about.
The projects grew out of these informal dinners that these horror directors would have, you know, every month or so, every two, you know, twice a month. They'd have dinners, and they came up with a sort of joking title calling themselves the Masters of Horror.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be things like, you know, they would sort of jokingly go, the Masters of Horror are going bowling. The Masters of Horror are ready to order dessert. And they would kind of joke around about it. And somehow this kind of transformed into this concept of...
It stuck.
Yeah, of doing a series where they could do one-hour series that are very director-intensive. They don't have producers kind of controlling things as much. It's really the director's vision.
Interesting.
So
it's less high pressure because it's short stories. And
yeah, it's a one-hour thing. And you know, there's not a lot of money going into it. And they're quick shooting schedules. And it really allows them to kind of explore what they want to explore. So
that
sounds,
could be really cool.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm worried the same way Aaron is, though. Who are they bringing in?
I can just
kind of imagine tuning in on episode 6, directed by Judy Tenuta.
Dario Argento.
She's horrific. Come on.
She is.
How do you say his last name? Argento? Argento? What?
Argento.
Argento. That's Dario Argento. Heard. John Carpenter. Larry Cohen. Joe Dante. John Landis. John McNaughton. Toby
Landis.
Hooper. Stuart Gordon.
Didn't Landis do funny films?
He also did Ghostbusters. That was scary. Yeah.
Did Landis do Ghostbusters?
Oh, yeah, he did. Of course he did. I'm so dumb.
We love you anyway.
Interesting.
Well, yeah.
I didn't catch it.
Yeah.
What
the hell? Does anyone here have Showtime?
Nope.
Have what?
Yeah.
You have Showtime? Will you record it?
Yes, I will search for it.
Okay.
All right. And yet another
10 o'clock Showtime.
Bit of crankiness. The U.S. will now be putting RFIDs in their passports as of 2006. RFIDs, if you don't know them, are those teeny weeny little ultra small microchips that can tell everything that you're doing from your what you buy to whatever, and they transmit every time you go buy another transmitter. So you pass through a transmitter, it tells you what you're wearing, when you know everything. Mm.
It's basically like having a serial number that's being transmitted from the passport.
Yes,
right,
all the time,
all the time.
So it will be beginning October 20, 2006. Some reports indicate the decision's already been made. No, but everybody thinks it's a good idea.
This is the U.S. government.
U.S. passports will have them in it.
I don't know. U.S. passport is designed to track your movements.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't. I don't have a whole.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean,
but
you know,
Well, it's storing all of your personal information is the problem that I have with it, and the fact that other people, if they have a reader, can read.
Well, it depends on what information it stores.
That's
the
key.
You know,
let's see: name, date of birth, picture, nationality on a chip inside the passport.
You don't need much.
That's nothing. Yeah. The passport itself says all that.
Yeah, but the difference in this is that anyone with an RFID reader is basically able to pick your pocket, photocopy that information, put it back in your pocket without you knowing about it.
I see.
You
Basically,
that's a valid fear.
98% of the 2,335 responses received in the department public comment period were against the idea for privacy and or security reasons.
Hmm. How many were there?
2,000 plus responses, and it's 98% against.
There were 2,000 responses in the whole United States?
No.
You're kidding.
2,000 responses when they first put it up on the website. The first, you
know. From the whole United States. That's, oh my God. That's like...
Well, maybe it's just a weak website.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't get more than that on our website. If we put up a poll.
That's true.
Over 100 people said they hate this idea. What?
Yeah, it's
more
the,
people should be outraged.
It's the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Oh, actually, okay. That's a pretty big website.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, no. They're the ones who voice concerns about privacy. Excuse me. It's the State Department's website.
Oh, no one goes to that crap.
Yeah. If I see .gov at the end of it, I'm really not that interested for the most part. It's true. Come on, okay. Do any of us really want to go to the DMV website?
Oh, I go there all the damn time. I'm always in trouble.
Excellent.
All right, that's true. I've seen the way you drive. All right. Mattel is rolling out a new Elmo. And Elmo knows your name.
Dum-dum-da.
The new Elmo dolls. That's actually, it's called Knows Your Name Elmo. You buy it with custom software that you can plug into your computer when you buy it while it's still in the box.
Sorry, Mac users.
To program it so that it'll know your child's name, favorite foods, color, favorite, all your kids' favorites will be programmed directly into your doll. And it'll be able to hold little conversations with your child.
Wow. This doesn't hold a can. I mean, this blows the whole passport thing out of the water.
Yeah.
Elmo knows you hate broccoli. Sorry.
Elmo knows what you did last night.
Elmo
doesn't approve.
Elmo thinks you're ugly.
Oh, no.
Your daddy is screwing his secretary.
See, now, my thinking on this one, like, first off, there was Teddy Ruxpin. And I don't know, maybe I was too old for that point. Teddy Ruxpin scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, but that was just a tape player.
It was just a tape player, but still, I mean, Robin Williams got it right when he said, you know, you must kill mommy and daddy. Like, what the hell does this thing say? Does anyone actually listen to it? But what I can't stop thinking about is that this is a steady desensitization towards making people feel more and more comfortable feeling intimately towards robots.
This is what we're this is going to lead right into our topic.
It really
this
is.
Great.
Now, I remember going to Universal Studios, okay, and to go on to the Terminator 2 ride.
Yeah.
Okay. While you're waiting online to the Terminator 2 ride, you're watching the advertisements from the company that makes Skynet.
Right. Hyperdyne.
Yeah,
whatever.
Hyperdyne, whatever the hell it is, showing all the ways it's making your life better. And there's this one screen showing a woman talking to her daughter on a across a video conference line. Mm-hmm. The daughter's in bed, and the mom slips on these gloves, reaches out.
She's in, like, Japan.
Yeah. And you see some robotic hands reach into the picture and tuck the child in, right? Like, and now when I was online, everyone standing in front of them went, oh, that's wrong.
That's such a great video.
Everyone got really tweaked out by that. This thing is one step towards removing that reaction.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
But to me, it's a little chilling.
One of us. They're taking over the world.
They are.
One cute stuffed animal at a time.
Frightening. Yeah, those hands are now no longer going to be robotic. They'll just look like Elmo's hands.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's the thing I never got. I mean, you're showing the big metal frames. They're not going to look like that.
Right.
You know?
What does Elmo sound like? That was beyond...
Elmo loves people.
It's Elmo.
Yeah, kind of like
that. That was beyond...
It's like a baby Grover.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grover. See, I grew up with Grover. This Elmo thing's all new.
Yeah.
I'm done with news.
Anyone? I got one last one.
You sure? Because we could just seg directly from this.
I know, but I have to.
All right, interrupt the flow.
Okay, here's the flow in getting interrupted. There's a young guy who died after being flung 30 yards via a catapult.
Thanks.
That'll happen.
That's an up.
Kidding me.
30 yards?
30 yards via
damn.
A catapult.
No, he chose to do
this. Damn, that's like some serious
airtime.
Why did he willingly do this?
Thank you. See, I had to. A 19-year-old Oxford University student died when he was sent flying through the air in a trebuchet.
Wait, that's not a catapult. That's like a crazy catapult.
Yeah, it's a...
Yeah. That's that shit that...
That's like the Cat O' Nine Tails of catapults.
That's a crazy... Yeah, that's like the one in Lord of the Rings. They're like bringing down Helm's Deep with, right? Yeah.
And you can't aim those things either.
Yeah, he died when he was sent flying through the air in the trebuchet, and he missed the safety net. He was part of an extreme sports club at the university. Extremely dumb. But some of the members of the stunt club were intended to complete jumps wearing fancy dress costumes. But after the first jump, were told by instructors to remove any capes they were wearing, which could slow down jumpers through the air. He said that prior to Mr. Yankov's jump, the weights that control the length of the jump were altered on the trebuchet. Describing Mr. Yankov's jump, he said, "At some stage, I saw Dino as a ball in the air. He then missed the safety net, but I couldn't say by how much. As he hit the ground, I heard a thud, and then a second thud. Paramedics rushed to the scene, and Mr. Yankov was taken to Bristol's French Lay Hospital, where he later died."
There, a professor...
He was launching himself into trebuchet.
A professor was sanctioning this?
Yes. Yes. Mm.
Someone's losing his job.
Yeah, it's a college.
Someone's getting... Some school's getting their ass sued.
Hello, these are adults.
They're 19.
They're 19.
That's an adult.
They're still going to get their... Well,
we got to stop treating adults like kids. If you want to launch your 19-year-old ass...
That's debatable. If you're not old enough to drink... You know,
are old enough to drink.
England.
That's somebody
else.
Oh,
in England. Okay, that's fine.
England.
But even here, you're old enough to drink. People used to take over armies and countries at 14, people.
I'm still not comfortable with that. If you're old enough to join the army... I think you're old enough to drink.
You are.
And then you should be an adult. But if you're not old, if they don't acknowledge that, there's some leeway between 18 and 21.
There is, but that's law. That's not common sense.
The drinking age did used to be 18 in the United States. There were too many drunk driving deaths, and then so they raised it again.
Well, I've met more than a few people of 25 that I didn't think were full-grown adults yet.
I think
they'll never be adults.
I think the point we're missing
is that he launched himself in a trebuchet.
No. The point we're missing is... Okay, the reason that we don't have, that the drinking age is 21, is because below the age of 21, it's true your judgment is somewhat impaired.
Oh yeah.
Now the reason that we allow people into the army at the age of 18 is because they want people whose judgment is impaired.
Oh, yeah. And now did you hear the new thing with the army where they're saying the newest thing they're cutting restrictions in the army and you can. Because it used to be you had to have graduated high school to have gone to the army, and they're removing that restriction. Yeah. So now you can be a dropout and
well, they're desperate for people right now.
Yep.
Crazy.
Have you ever read the infantry entry exam?
No.
It's like write your name here.
Yeah. 4 + 2 =
8.
It's there you go.
Well, you know.
Where's that trebuchet?
Hey, the reason why we all don't get to work in catapults is because the people who used to do it died. So it's thinning the herd.
Yeah.
These people die so that we don't all do it in the future. It's like evolution. That's the reason why we don't get to work.
So you think
in
that's what that professor actually was doing? Was he had an evolution class?
Thinning the herd, my friend.
I guarantee thinning you that guy is going to get a Darwin Award.
Oh, yeah. That's why I brought it up, because I think he's absolutely going to be in the Darwin Awards.
All right, let's move on to our topic.
So our topic this week comes from one of our listeners and a friend of ours who sent all of us an email. And I'm going to read the email, and then we're going to discuss this thing, because I think it brings up some good issues that gets brought up a lot in sci-fi and comic books.
And sort of gets glossed over.
And gets glossed over because we, I think, now accept it. Hello, fellow geeks. I have a question for you about Battlestar Galactica. Why, I ask you, why do neither of the guys having Cylon babies on Battlestar seem terribly upset about it? I really don't get the whole
Hilo / Sharon, she's having my baby, don't kill her thing at all. It's a machine baby. Even Crazy Baltar seems as if he should be a little concerned. Why does no one think, kill it now?
Because it's a baby.
That's from Ianthe.
Okay. So we're not going to be applying this specifically to Battlestar Galactica. We're going to be opening this up to
all sci-fi. I think we should. Well, we can do both. But it's meant. It's really meant to get be opened up, because I think this really brings up a big question about what is considered a machine and what's considered not a machine. Right. I think is one of the first issues. Like, do these people really count as just toasters or robots?
I mean, let's...
If I want to throw out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
One, if this is just the machine as a monster, which is how it's kind of presented in the series, that applies across a lot of genres, not just the machine genre.
No, I agree.
Like, every zombie movie has that scene between boyfriend and girlfriend. You're like, your brain smells so sweet. Please let me eat your brains. Okay, well, just a bite, Johnny. That's a quote. Okay?
So there's one movie. What is
that?
No,
there's a lot. That's from Return of the Living Dead Part 2, I think.
Kidding.
Possibly Part 1.
I think that might be a little hard to identify with.
No, but you see that in any movie where there's a love relationship between two minor characters, and there's something that's going to be taking things over. But one of them eventually gets taken over.
But I think
in
here is you're assuming that the unborn baby is a monster.
Yeah, I think there's a miscalculation in that email, because there's two different types of machines.
Yeah.
You can look at Terminator, and there's the machines which are basically toasters that walk around and kill things.
Well, then there's Johnny Fives.
What kind of toasters do you have?
I have very advanced technological toasters that walk around and serve the toast.
Okay.
No.
By the way, I also applied this to aliens, because it's really just an alien. A robot's essentially an alien.
Yeah. Aaron, what did she give her? A human womb, was it?
Yes.
With
this one, it's less of an issue of the baby than the mom is a freaking killing machine monster.
Well, we haven't seen that. Actually.
Yeah, we have. She shot Adama.
No, that was another one.
No.
That's inconsequential. It's the same model.
No,
but that doesn't mean that we haven't established in that show that the same models do the same things.
That would be the natural assumption to make.
Except that it doesn't seem to be playing out the way they've been playing it out.
We have extra information that the human characters on that show do not. Well, I am not buying their reactions.
But remember, Adama and everyone else is willing to kill her. The only people wanting to save the person is the people that were on a planet and didn't experience the other person killing.
They experienced the other person as a human being, basically.
Exactly. Okay. And he did shoot her.
He did.
Okay, so it wasn't like he's just been like glossy-eyed in love. I think he's had a very complex reaction to her. He wants to kill her, but he doesn't. He's in she's a human. She always has been. So to all, it's okay, and to me this is like the Superman problem, or even the Blade Runner problem. You know, Blade Runner, the main hero falls in love with a robot that he knows is a robot. He doesn't even think that she's human at all. He knows from the very beginning, decides to fall in love with her, and then is essentially, runs off forever with her as a recluse to protect her. And we can understand that. Like, we don't go, what the hell's wrong with Decker? That crazy son of a bitch was a toaster. Just because she's hot? All the boomers pretty hot.
I don't know if I make that connection.
Well, I think it's the same story. I think it's the same as Superman.
I think it would be hard for me to form an emotional bond to something that way.
Okay, if you were dating somebody and you found out that he was a superhero from a different planet, you would say, "Oh, sorry, you crazy sicko, get away from me." That's an alien.
No, I don't see the application here. No, an alien is different from a machine to me.
Well, but
alien
because it has
actual emotions, not things that have been programmed into
it. Except that's the question.
I am Dr. Polanski, Okay, I'm so looking at data, thinking
you don't believe
it's a freaking robot.
Okay, but so you're telling me that when you're watching Battlestar Galactica, you are thinking of these Cylons, the human versions of Cylons, as creatures without feeling and without
if
emotion.
I did not have the outside context.
No, we're talking about you.
No, no, you as a character, you as a person watching the show.
Watching the show, yes, I believe they have that.
You believe they have it.
But I was a character in the show.
Uh-huh.
With the information, those individual characters... Okay, the reason why I'm getting that context is because I've watched the Cylons interacting with each other while there are no humans around. I have additional information.
Yeah, but you don't think Adama believes that they have emotions? I think he does now.
I don't necessarily believe that, no.
See,
I believe
you're wrong. And you don't think Hilo thinks that? You don't
think Hilo? He's seen her turn off and shoot him.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they don't have emotions.
Seen it.
It doesn't mean they don't have emotions.
But that means those emotions are simply tools to get their weapon systems closer to you.
Yes, but he's also
which makes them not real.
But he's also
seen
an entire fleet that could have eviscerated every single one of them and destroyed them, completely destroyed them. He's seen the female Cylon, what's her name, Boomer, take out that entire fleet for him. So he's seen them display complex reactions that can't be explained.
Complex reactions do not necessarily mean emotion.
Being the unknown, not knowing Battlestar as well, do we know that they're fully Cylon? Or are they cybernetic?
They're indistinguishable from human beings.
From any test.
So
human
test. So they are flesh and blood.
Genetically.
So...
You kind of like almost...
But there's something in there where they are super strong and much faster.
But there's, the Blade Runner had almost the same thing. They were almost down to the molecular level. They were biological. But then when you really got down there, they had been designed.
That's why they had that weird test.
And in, the Void Comp test. Now, in that, you had learned that they did develop emotions. Robots did. And... Now, would you say it'd be impossible for you to develop a relationship with?
I think it depends on how hot the robot
is. I am totally
ultimately
agree. Okay. Ultimately, it is a program, and I would have a hard time getting past that.
Why do you think that you're any different than that?
Because I am biological. I am not running on specific.
So you
subsets.
Don't think you're a machine at all. You think you don't you have no machinery in you that you don't run on fuel.
You're
you
debating
a
on a different level than I am. I'm saying that, the robots programming in Blade Runner, right? When you sit down and you question them, right? And you keep giving them those more pressing questions. The tortoise is upside down.
Right.
Is it a turtle or a tortoise? What's the difference?
Yeah, but the only
That is a very fundamental thing. A human would not be fazed by those things.
No, but I would say that they just have a head start. Remember, the later models of the Blade Runners were getting around that test because they only had 4 years to develop full emotional... You know, they're developing. They're like kids.
Oh, great. So let's date kids.
Well, there's kids are still
Hang on.
Date emotional kids.
That's not what he was saying, though. That was not his point. You're sidestepping his point. His point was that your argument is incomplete because those weren't fully functional, creatures. And had they had a chance to be fully functional, they would have been indistinguishable from human beings.
No, I still disagree because the original version is your emotional response to A will be B. Okay? That is a program.
Okay.
The advanced version recognizes that your emotional response to A will be B through E. There is more complexity.
Okay. But,
the human reaction is A. Your reaction to A is B through triple Z.
Am I going
to
get tested?
Okay. Hang on.
I think you're a freaking simulant.
See, but here's the thing. I mean,
the tortoise is upside down, Aaron. Do you flip him up?
Tell me about your mother.
Okay. Would you say that human beings are a form of a computer, a machine?
If you want to use a metaphor, yes.
Okay.
I would not say they are. I would say that's a metaphor.
Okay, so you don't believe that.
So you believe...
Not using metaphors, you don't think a human body is a machine?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So you would say then that the human body has something in it, like a soul, that differentiates it from its mechanical functions?
That's going a little more metaphysical, but...
But there's something...
There is an element
there. Is the metaphysical what you think is the difference between
I think that's an element that can't be avoided.
Okay.
If you, in this sort of discussion, it's, okay, I have it's another an element question that can't then. Be avoided.
Could you fall in love with a Vulcan?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Okay. A Vulcan that does not have emotions.
No, because I've watched Enterprise.
Tuvok.
I've watched Enterprise.
Tuvok. Could you fall in love with Tuvok?
Why would I fall in love with Tuvok?
He has no emotion.
That's true.
He's like the one Vulcan on Star Trek
Vulcan.
Who seriously did not crack a facial muscle.
Okay, well, my context with Vulcans is they have emotions, they suppress them.
T'Pol?
So, yes. T'Pol suppressed emotions. She had them.
Okay. Yeah. Because T'Pol I could fall in love with.
Well,
yeah. Really? Emotion or otherwise. All right.
If Johnny Five looks
so
like T'Pol.
So your only concern is that these people on Battlestar Galactica have no emotions because they have been created by a machine.
I believe they have reactions that are very similar to emotions.
Now, what if you found out that they were, and they have been hinting about this, mm-hmm. that they have been born using human DNA?
Then I would have been wrong.
Okay.
But I don't believe that's the case. So I believe these things are programmed.
So how much, like, you know, how much of it of a creature has to be organic? Like Darth Vader is like almost completely.
He's not like in Data, basically.
Yeah, but nobody here wants to
sleep. Data is a great example.
Don already said he didn't like Data, and Data is quote unquote fully functional.
I got Pulaski.
Yeah, it's Pulaski.
Polanski? Okay.
I got Pulaski
when she was on Enterprise.
Right.
She treated like, yeah, fine, we can treat it like it's a human being if it makes you feel better, mm-hmm. but it's not. It has no emotions. It has simulated emotions.
So you're all fine, like, you would be okay with abusing, like, R2-D2 and C-3PO because you know that there is no consequence and it would not be immoral to abuse them in any way because they have no emotions or anything like that.
They've been programmed.
Immoral?
Yeah. And
from an objective point of view, no.
Okay,
no immoral.
From his 4-year-old self, he's crying inside.
Well, no. However, they are programmed with emotional simulated responses.
Okay, but
so if I was going to sit there and poke C-3PO in the eye socket and went, ow,
yeah,
I'd feel bad. But I'd feel the same way if I was electrocuting my speaking spell and it said ow.
But why would you feel bad? why would you feel bad and why would you think it was
because
morally wrong?
Because it's presenting. I'm not saying it's morally wrong. I'm saying I would feel bad.
Okay.
I feel bad stepping on an ant. I don't think that's necessarily morally wrong.
But an ant's alive.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm simply presenting the same emotion here. Huh. It's presenting an emotional response that I will react to.
So, Hilo's reaction,
mm-hmm.
electrocuting her, might be the same reaction you would have, right?
Yes.
I would feel bad
if I shot the machine that told me it was carrying my baby.
Right. And you probably would have the same reaction as Hilo then?
No.
Hang on, guys. I want to make an argument here, which is a machine does what it's programmed to do.
Okay.
It has no independent will.
That we know of.
Machines have no independent will. They do what they're programmed to do.
That we know of, yes.
Well,
in this day and age,
okay.
Yes.
The type of machines we're talking about. I mean, you know, I understand
at
where you're going.
At this level, they're,
okay.
You know,
but
they're indistinguishable.
Yeah, I mean.
On Battlestar Galactica, we do see that the, you know, situations where the machines are, where Boomer, for example, is fighting her programming.
Mm-hmm.
We see where they're going over looking for water on a planet, and the first time they go over,
oh, I saw that episode.
She blanks out and doesn't realize that they passed her water. But you see her go, let's just go over again. I just have this feeling, and they go over it again, and then again the same thing happens, and she's sweating and she's fighting, and she goes, yes, there's water.
Yeah. These are machines that are so complex, and I think obviously they do have emotions, that they contemplate suicide because they're so conflicted.
So they actually have complicated interactions with the world. They have self-will.
And they're not. And they're not
but this is stuff that Asimov has covered.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
If their machine goal.
Mm-hmm.
is to achieve something
mm-hmm.
that there are multiple routes to,
mm-hmm.
right? There may be indecision shown.
No,
right?
But you see, the point is that.
But we don't know what Sharon's goal is.
Is her goal
to see them all die of dehydration?
Okay.
Or is her goal something else? And is her goal something that could be achieved either by denying them water or by finding it? And is that programming a conflict of, no, do I give them water or not, or is it, what is the best course of action?
I think that either they have a very clear programming or they don't have very clear programming. If the program is to destroy the humans, which is what it seems to be coming across as, if that's their programming, destroy the humans, then there's no conflict. You just destroy the humans in the easiest, most direct way possible. If the programming is destroy the humans and yet you like the humans and now you're conflicted...
I don't believe... Okay, not to dig on Battlestar Galactica exclusively, but I don't think their goal is to destroy the humans. I don't think it ever has been. I think they've had plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, I do think they have an alternative motive, too. But.
Plenty of opportunities. And I think it's so open right now that if each of the models has a slightly different goal, all in the grand scheme to achieve the same end, that those different goals may lead in conflict with each other, including the Sharon robot basically saying, I have a biological organism growing in me that's important to my mission.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those other Cylons attacking my fleet right now, where I am, where I have my biological imperative inside of me, it is in my mission parameters to make sure that that fleet is destroyed so that I can achieve my goal. I don't necessarily think that it has to be an emotional choice at all.
I don't think you're describing anything that isn't human. There's plenty of us who grew up programmed in different countries, schools.
I think this is my key difference. This is what I got to keep throwing out.
Mm-hmm.
The response may be response F to stimulus A, right? But the robot's only choices are response B through G, right? The human response also contains that same response that she did.
I guess we're getting stuck to the point where I think that it is possible to program something to come up with its own reaction. I think we have it now. We've got...
artificial intelligence.
We have artificial intelligence.
And then the question is truly whether or not you want to have a relationship with something which is an alternative intelligence to yourself as opposed to an intelligence that is... with you.
Mm-hmm. Let me throw this at you. You're using Battlestar Galactica as the sole source of information.
Right.
I'm going to go back to the 80s to pull out the old Melanie Griffith movie, Cherry 2000.
Okay.
Where a man has an exclusive relationship with a woman he refers to as his wife, which is a robot.
Right.
And when you watch the movie from an outside perspective, the robot is bland, repetitive, predictable, and... not stimulating, but he's comfortable with it.
Right.
And so, do you get what I'm saying? No matter how many variants you give a robot, it will never have as many variants.
Cherry 2000. Each piece of fiction we're talking about has their own set of rules in the universe.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously, if we were talking about some, fantasy that took place modern day, you could say it would be stupid to fall in love with a robot these days. I got that. But in this case... the real question is not whether robots, can think or not, but it's whether you can fall in love with an alien thing. Because I guess my version of the Battlestar universe is that we're supposed to believe that they have some type of emotional response.
Yeah. Well, what?
But apparently you watch the whole show not believing that. That's interesting.
No, I find it fascinating. I believe their goals to be purely intellectual and pseudo-spiritual, which is an intellectual pursuit.
Right. And that's being programmed by who?
I don't know.
Yeah. So you don't think it can possibly be another robot because a robot wouldn't have
I think
the,
that programming, that. It is... I believe I just... Unfortunately, I'm paraphrasing something I don't fully understand.
Mm-hmm.
I just read an experiment where they watched circuitry evolve by repeatedly replacing the same pattern of... electrically conductive circuits, right? They kept replacing them over and over, replacing the burned out circuits with the circuits that didn't quite make the snuff with identical circuits. And they just kept replacing them over and over and over and over and over through thousands and thousands and thousands of repetitions. And they discovered a pattern was developed that transmitted the electricity with a degree of, this is so not my area of expertise. It transmitted the electricity with a freedom that the engineers themselves couldn't possibly have put together.
So you're saying it was evolving to something better.
It was evolving to something different.
Okay.
And something better because there was only one circumstance being measured. Right. Better or worse was the only variables.
But this is a program. These are Cylons who have the goal of like obtaining God.
Well,
or
okay, so here's the question. What about V? Remember the movie V?
I remember
and
V.
Somebody had
the alien baby.
They had the alien baby.
Now, so, the one with the tongue or the one that looked like the lizard?
The one that looked like the lizard.
Because there was the one that looked like a real baby who just had the tongue.
Right. Now, the thing about this is that we know for a fact that the visitors wanted to obliterate the planet Earth and use them for food, of all things. And so now, you know, can you fall in love with a visitor even though their whole race wants to obliterate the human thing? I mean,
I think this is a different subject. I honestly think the aliens versus machines.
I don't think it's a different subject.
Let me put it this way. Sugar is wonderful. Splenda is wonderful. Splenda will never be sugar.
Okay, wait, no. Hang on. Let's go back because in order to understand this argument, you have to understand something very specific about what Don's saying. Don is saying that aliens and human beings have true consciousness, okay?
And no matter what universe, science fiction universe, that wants to write that
artificial
machines become intelligent, that you don't believe it, no matter how
something
hard
that is made.
Wants to convey
he believes it's any. He believes a machine has programming.
No matter what the author decides he wants to tell you,
but
you will
no
not
soul.
Believe it.
Yeah.
Ghost in the shell, right. Man. Ghost
I don't buy it. Okay. I just
well,
don't
that's
buy
just
it.
A different issue then. Yeah.
Okay, I want to prefer a concept here.
Okay.
I just want to bear with me here for a second. Okay. I want to say that not only is our computers going to develop to become more sexual, okay?
Of course they are.
But people are definitely going to use
exploit
them that.
Way. Yeah.
Exploit that. Because
Elmo's just the beginning.
Yeah, I just want to say people already have sexual relationships with their computers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are getting a lot more sex because of their computers, okay? I mean, you know, the porn industry is rampant. And I think if people
also people getting a lot more love from their computers.
Through computers, yeah.
Yes.
Their computers.
So, I mean, I think that when their computer becomes a little more multifunctional, you know, people are going to take advantage of that. I just think it's the way it's going
to
happen.
I don't think people may be able to use it to fulfill a biological imperative, but they're never going to bring it back to cuddle.
I don't know.
I know a lot of guys who
I
don't
really
give a
don't,
shit about cuddling.
No. Yeah.
Well, I just had I had some other movies that were, you know, Blade Runner, Superman, Star Wars, a little bit Starman. You know, there was a whole thing.
Starman
about
was
woman,
very interesting.
But Superman bomb. And Starman, you're with well, less so with Starman, but with Superman, you're using him as an example before too. That's someone who was raised in a human society. Mm-hmm. His psychology
True.
Is human, developed not just by his own experience, but being raised as any other human being is.
Mm-hmm. Right, but he's not
but
human.
Also then
and
there's
there
the
are definite big psychological modifiers to being a superhero.
But there's also
and
the
if you are lying to somebody you are in love with, that might affect the way they think about you.
Well, let's put it this way.
Well, there is the betrayal aspect of what you're talking about with Battlestar Galactica. Is
right.
that innately the betrayal, the true betrayal of the whole thing is if that alien, that Cylon fulfills its programming, and if that programming is to destroy the human race rather than suss them out or discover what they are or figure out how to be human, then it's betraying you on some alien level, which is betrayal, and that has nothing to do with
let alone the betrayal just pretending to be human when you weren't.
Yeah,
and Star Trek did this all the time with like swapping out humans with Trills and
what I'm
robots
watching
and
on
else.
Battlestar Galactica is Sharon now has two bodyguards. And she didn't have to do anything to get him.
Well, that's what's great about I think it's a very complex and dirty situation, which makes it very interesting.
Yeah.
It's not obvious. To me, I go, damn, and they're in a tough spot because I couldn't just go, just kill the baby and kill, Boomer. It's not that easy because I don't really know what Boomer is like. Maybe there just might be a chance that the Cylons have developed a biological organism, and that's what they are. Sure, they may
I'm
be
I'm with the president
up.
Every step of the way on that one. As long as she's useful, keep her around. As soon as she proves to be a danger, flush her out
the
airlock.
But the president may have said the same thing if the Cylons were like Klingons.
Yeah.
Well,
and I would have had the same reaction.
But you just told us. Okay, forget about it.
Well, because they're trying to kill me.
Aliens
at that point.
And robots.
They're
entirely
because they're trying to kill me is what
okay.
I'm saying.
Or so if they were like, cosmic Russians in the new Cold War, you would feel the same way.
Yeah, flush them out the airlock.
All right. I got a really weird question, and it's a little bit of a segue.
That was Pete's sign language for segue, just letting you all know.
Yeah, segue.
He was on it for
the
a second.
The ones you ride.
Going around the room.
Okay. But you mentioned Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I got to say, there's something that's always really bugged me about Superman, because Superman's a guy. He's going to want to have sex too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If he gets excited, you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about...
Kill someone?
Well, no, not so much that. I'm talking about the whole concept of... I mean, you know, can he have kids? You know? I mean, there is no freaking condom in the world that's going to stop a super sperm, okay? You know what I'm saying? Now it gets into someone and she gets pregnant.
Now you have it stuck in my head. Would Gene stop a super boner?
That's what I'm saying.
Rip.
Yeah, there's that too. But so if he does have sex and he can control his strength, right? He's got a baby growing inside her. Well, does that baby now have super strength?
Yeah, that would be bad.
And when that baby kicks...
I think I actually read that scenario.
Yeah,
Lois Lane was killed by the fetus. Yeah.
Who wrote that? Come on, that's just wrong.
I remember something along those lines.
Yeah, I think it was an Elseworlds comic.
Or let me ask you a question. Here's the other side of that, because I have really wondered about this. Because he gets his power from our light, from the sun.
Sunlight.
So that means...
The
baby doesn't get light. So that means that, you know, the baby's fine. You know, you just have to make sure it doesn't see any light, you know, especially coming out of the womb, you know.
But Superman is okay in a cave.
Well, he acts as a battery,
but he recharges is the whole thing. They say that, you know, he has to be, you know, like, if he's damaged really badly, he's got to be in the sun, and the sun helps him.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was something I saw where he was...
I knew that he grew and thrived because of our sun, but I thought it was just permanent.
Have they done anything about that on Smallville?
No. Ah. Well, I think we probably talked this one out.
We've kind of killed, that part of Geek Club.
We killed the Cylon on that one.
Yeah, we did.
I'm curious because they're about ready to get into some crazy stuff. We're all wondering what their alternative motives are, because obviously they could have killed off the human race a long time ago, or the whatever race they are.
The ragtag fleet.
And
ultimately, I think one of the big questions with the machine issue is, do you believe in an afterlife? And if you do, can you love someone that you know you will be separated from eternally?
There can be only
after
one
a short time.
I don't know. I think that's entirely different, completely different topic.
I think that's part of it.
I get this weird idea, and I don't know. I'm just curious to throw it out and see what you guys think from watching Battlestar. That their goal is not to destroy the humans, but is to send them through a series of trials and tribulations to purify them.
Yeah.
And that in some way they're hoping that they will gain souls from performing this function.
I don't know. I think it's definitely some type of religious thing, because if they wanted to – my original concept was that they just wanted to fuse the races.
Yeah.
But they could have just done that secretly by just having all these hot chicks go down the planet and have sex with all the guys. And not destroy the planet.
That's a really good point.
Not, you know what I mean?
I can't help thinking it's a hint that of all the Cylons, all the human-looking Cylons they've introduced so far, only two have been male. There must be something.
The guys are easy. If you want to target the human race, you go for the guys.
I don't know. I mean, it's a big excuse we always use. You know, if you want to be able to walk anywhere and do anything, be a woman.
That's
not really all that true.
My other seed idea is that Earth has not been inhabited yet, and is a completely barren planet, and that we're meant, you know, as we all know, the Cylons are the ones with a one god, and the humans are the ones with many gods. So really, the one god theory is being pushed by these aliens, and I'm thinking maybe they might have the birth of the Earth being the fusion of Cylon and human. That might be the...
I don't know. The
classic Twilight Zone.
The polytheism of the humans on Battlestar Galactica seems to speak against that. They worship the Greek gods, which came way late.
Yeah, you're right. But we could have been... Yeah, that's true.
Hmm.
So instead of doing a bit that we dream up this week, Technobabble, Demon Lord, whatever, we did an interview 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
2 days ago with Matt's cousin, who was going to BlizzCon. And none of us actually went, and I think she's the only person we know who went.
I know a couple others.
Oh, you do? Okay, so... So she came back, and we got a little bit a talk with her about what went on there, mm-hmm. what goes on at BlizzCon, because I had no clue what you would spend 2 days
and
doing.
Also, surprisingly, because she is so into World of Warcraft, because she's a World of Warcraft widow. And actually got divorced because of it. So she'll also go a little bit into that as well, along with our Geek Love theme here.
That's right. So we'll get to that right now. We're going to come back right after that and do some geek mail and links, and then we're out of here. So here is the clip.
All right. Continuing in our geek theme of love and loss, I've brought my cousin Sean onto the show.
Hello, Sean.
Hey,
by the
everybody.
Way, also, Matt and I are the only ones here from the geeks.
Yeah, we've gone solo. Pete's down at a concert, and Don had prior engagements.
Right.
So
our interview with Sean here will be with limited geeks.
Limited geeks. It's a shame.
Which is,
well, you know. I'll make do.
Exactly.
Exactly. So what we did was, first of all, before we get to Sean's love and loss story, we sent Sean on a journey down to BlizzCon. She actually came here because she really wanted to go to BlizzCon.
Yeah, we didn't send her.
We found out that she was going. Right.
Right. So she became our correspondent to BlizzCon, and I know a lot of our geeks who listen to us want to know, A, what in the world is BlizzCon?
Right.
Because a lot of people play World of Warcraft and other Blizzard stuff. What goes on there?
Mm-hmm.
Who goes there? What are the type of geeks? What do they look like? What type of events are going on? I mean, I don't even know.
Right. Sean is officially our first field reporter.
Right.
So you're basically our White House correspondent now, and you get to stand up and be all cool with it.
And you've taken pictures, right?
Yes, I did. I took some pictures.
So we'll throw some of those
up. I mean,
up.
How can you not take pictures of this?
Well, yeah. I don't know. I didn't know that there was anything to take at BlizzCon.
All right,
there
so
was.
First of all, what do you play on World of Warcraft?
I play...
You don't have to give your character name or anything like that. We don't want to out you.
Oh, okay. I'm a Night Elf hunter.
And you have one character.
I have one character. I am probably the only person on World of Warcraft that only has one character.
All right. And how long have you been playing?
I have been playing since December.
Last year? This year?
Of last year.
Last year.
Yeah. So right after
it came
out.
She went back in time, Matt, and...
No. You know what I meant. I meant it had been 2 weeks... Shut up. This is why I need Don here. All right.
So you've been playing for almost a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So you decided to go to BlizzCon and check out the craziness and everything like that. So you went down when, this morning?
I went down this morning. I got there as the doors were opening at 10 a.m.
Excellent.
Went to Will Call, picked up my geek badge with the official G on it for geek.
Actually, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a monster G on it for geek.
That's hilarious.
I think it's actually general, but
yeah,
let's say
I think
it's
so.
Geek.
Yeah.
Right. But now you got a... Now, what was the...
Well, wait a minute. How many days is BlizzCon?
It was 2 days.
2 days.
It was yesterday and today.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I had a prior engagement yesterday, so I opted to go today.
Excellent.
Which, it was really nice because I had talked to people and they said that the lines were crazy yesterday because it was sold out. It has been sold out since about a week ago.
Right. That's right. Why one of the reasons why we couldn't go.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But it's also like $100-something to get in, or?
Well, if you went and you went to the concert, which the concert, the headliner they announced was Offspring, just so everybody knows.
Of course.
And if you went,
didn't they
then,
have the guy from Korn too?
Yeah, they had that. He did the voiceover. They had a voice contest for people who sound people in the game.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Anyway, and his job was to judge that contest.
Oh, okay.
So if you got that concert ticket, it was more expensive?
Yeah, it was $120.
Okay.
Whew. And you get to go to all the exhibits.
That's more than...
And you get to go to the concert.
All right, so what do you get for your $120?
And a flight out here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and a flight out here. Let's see, you got a goodie bag.
Mm-hmm.
And they told you mostly what was in it beforehand. You could go to the website and look, but it had a program that actually it was a really nice printing job because I'm in printing and I really like it. But you know, it was a really nice job on what they did. It had all
like
your
glossy art. I mean, that's great,
very hot looking. It even had a section, you know, for autographs because you were able to go and have the developers of the game all had an autograph table.
Is that what this BlizzCon invitational thing was? So you could tell who won the...
Yes, you were actually able, had a chart there so you could keep track. You were able to write the names.
Because they had contests for people who played Warcraft, who played Starcraft, who played Warcraft 3.
And they had them from all over the world. I mean, they were representing countries. Warcraft, they represented, they had, each country, that they had somebody in it.
Yeah, this is glossy.
Okay,
amazing.
So part of the convention was a tournament.
Exactly.
Okay, and I understand tournaments for like Warcraft and mm-hmm. StarCraft. Mm-hmm. What type of tournaments are there for World of Warcraft?
There weren't. No. It was just... There were?
Yes, there was.
What?
Okay. For World of Warcraft...
Battlegrounds? Or?
They had Battlegrounds.
Okay.
And what it was is you basically... And that is probably the longest line of the whole place.
Right.
It was for Horde side and for... There were 20 people on each side.
Okay.
And it was whoever wanted to come up.
Okay.
And they stood up and they put you in groups. And whoever won, those people stayed
mm-hmm.
for another round. And then another group of the other teams.
So it's like King of the Hill.
King of the Hill, basically.
Okay.
Did anybody dominate forever?
The Horde pretty much kicked ass.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, okay, that makes me think that...
From what I was there, I don't know about...
Now, did they balance?
Is it an unbalanced
game?
Did
they balance out the teams?
Well, they only get to play 3 rounds, and then they start over.
See, I'm wondering if what that's indicating is the game is unbalanced.
I don't know about that.
Well, you know, I talked to quite a few people, and in my realm, for instance, the Alliance dominated a lot. But that was because the Horde would never play. We would wait for hours for enough Horde to come in and play the game. And
on your server.
On your server.
Okay. Yeah. But I was talking to other people.
Wait,
that
with
were
a million or billion or whoever, what are they claiming? A million people joined?
Well,
you had to wait hours in order to play.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't because there weren't enough Horde. It's that they wouldn't play in the battle net because we were winning. They would get so mad that it really was funny because we had
That's bizarre.
We had players who would go, who had characters on both sides.
Oh, I see.
And they would come back and be like, you know, they're not going in there.
Hmm.
And then I have talked to other people like today, and they, you know, they have servers where the Horde dominates the whole battle net thing. Very so it's really interesting.
All right, so they have tournaments there.
Okay, so they have tournaments.
Okay, you so got what
your,
other? What,
you got your Smancy swag. Now, the big thing was the pets, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, you got a free...
Baby Murloc pet.
You got a free pet that you can now use in the game.
Yes, right. It's like a gift card that you get.
Okay,
and
with
I
like
have
a code.
Right here. Yeah, and you take it out. It has Blizzard on one side. It has your little code on the
I
other.
I smell
side.
eBay.
Oh no, that sucker is going to get eBayed for hundreds of dollars.
Ugh.
Hundreds of dollars just to get that little Murloc toy.
And on that note, one of the things that I did see at the conference, which I thought you would like, and I did take a picture of, is of there was a Murloc there. Then he came.
A guy dressed as a Murloc?
Yeah.
Or an actual Murloc?
Well, a Murloc. A guy dressed as a Murloc, and he had his baby Murloc with him, I have you know.
Now, are these the same time machine guys?
No.
Are those Murlocs?
No, those are Murlocs.
Yeah. Okay.
These are Murlocs. They're like...
You know those. They're the, you know, the fish-looking guys who go... La, 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 when they run at you.
God, that's a great imitation one.
I've never seen that.
Really? They're all over the edges of the world, and they look like...
I've never been to the edges. I've been to, like, 3 cities.
You got
to
play the game more.
Anyway.
Oh.
They look like Admiral Akbar from Star
like
Wars.
Like a Calamarian.
Yeah,
they look like a Calamarian.
Yeah, Calamarian. That's great. Yeah.
The most genius Star Wars name ever.
He kind of looks like that Disney character, the alien.
Yeah, vaguely.
Anyway, what is that?
Alien? I don't can't remember that.
Well, this particular Murloc was there with his baby Murloc, and he was protesting the enslavement of the babies. Okay?
And you do have pictures of this?
I do have pictures of it. He actually at one point jumped on the stage whenever they were having one of their opening. They were doing one of the panel judges, and they asked a question. You could have it a question and answer time.
Yeah.
And he actually stood up and said, you know, I think that it's a crime. This is genocide. You're killing all of the baby I don't know why you're doing this.
My people need to unite.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
It
That's cool.
was great.
That's
it was great.
Hilarious.
Yeah, and he was very... And he had a camera with him the whole time and was interviewing people. And he would go up to people that were injured. I heard him at one point asking this guy that had a broken leg, you know, were you injured by someone trying to get a baby Murloc?
That's What was the question mark picture that you had in your camera?
Oh, I have a great picture of all of the people that were at the info booth, and all of the staff that were running around had NPC. They had black t-shirts on, and they had white NPC underneath it, just like right. in the game, and a yellow question mark on the back of there.
That's cool. Sure.
And at one point I said, hey, guys, they were all kind of grouped together, and it looked to me just like when you come up in the game and there's all your quests, and I was like, hey, turn around, and they were kind of confused, and I took their picture, so it's a great picture with all the, need to click on you.
That's funny. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. So tournaments, swag, eBayable.
Yeah. Yes.
Pet.
Right.
An art gallery.
Okay.
Of the new art and of the new game and stuff, too. It was where you got to see a lot of the...
This is Ghost?
No, they're introducing the whole... Well,
but the Warcraft world
the
is what
Oh, the expansion pack.
Okay. Yeah.
So okay. What is it... Well, let me actually do what they say in the booklet about what the expansion
now,
pack
all they
is.
Did was announce it.
Right.
No. It was there. You could play it.
You could play it.
Oh, you could play it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's playable.
And then that was the other thing you did. There were probably about, 100 or so terminals set up.
Yep.
And you got 30 minutes time. You got to go in,
cool.
And you got to play. You could either play, there were three level 60 characters, or you could play level 1 characters.
Right.
It was your choice.
And so this is coming out soon,
we
then?
We got one of the two new races, the Blood Elves,
right.
Playable for the first time.
Which I guess everyone predicted.
Yeah, I actually knew about that, but I was under a non-disclosure agreement. Couldn't talk about it. I've seen...
You're
I've,
still under non-disclosure
well,
agreement.
Well, no, now that they've been released. The other race I can't talk about, and I know what that is. The sneak peek at the Sunstrider Isle, the starting zone of the Blood Elves, playable on the BlizzCon floor. New quests, items, and creatures to battle.
What is the other... There's two races, right?
Yeah, I never did hear what the other race
They're
was.
Not going to say until it's released.
Yeah. Oh,
until it's released.
Oh, okay.
I don't think
there was a lot of like gossip going around and stuff, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Potent new class abilities and spells, higher level cap, see the epic challenges in store beyond the current advancement limit. They're increasing the level cap to 70.
Right.
A look at other new zones and new PvP content and features. What were the, didn't you say there were new trade skills and stuff like that?
Yeah, there were basically, they went into, I want to get some of the stuff that I found out that there's like cheating going on that I didn't even know there was going on.
Okay. We know a lot about the cheating, but...
But the new trade skills basically are they are going to have jewelry. The jewel crafting. Yep, and that is going to be basically they kind of are going to make that an enchanting, a kind of like a skill set.
Right.
What,
so you
together?
Enchant.
Yeah.
You enchant a crystal.
You're going to start enchanting gems.
So you enchant gems, and then you can slot that gem into a sword.
Yes, they're going to have slotted. Yeah.
So supposedly you
really
can create your own magic weapon now completely.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Now, yeah. do they have like a find gems, like the mining? How do you get gems?
Well,
is it all...
you already get gems through mining.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. That
and
is
the other,
true. That's
the
true.
Other thing they're going to do is, and I wrote this down because everybody was, I mean, people were like jumping up and down. They were so excited about this. But I guess in the raids now, you never used to get, if you got a purple item, you know, a purple titled item, mm-hmm. and you disenchanted it,
right.
didn't really get anything from
it.
Very cool.
It's like, because what happens is you take the green items already within the game, you
right.
disenchant them. And you get these essences, and then enchanters who are like sort of the hardcore World of Warcraft players.
Right.
Because it's such a pain in the ass trade skill.
Right.
Why would you want to do it unless you were there getting magical items all the time?
Right.
Right.
Because you need to disenchant them all the time just to even get one tick on your power.
And they're trying to expand that because they're realizing that they want to cater to the hardcore player as much as they can.
Right.
Because, and so they are expanding
So they're trying to
that.
Boost that a little bit so that if...
Mm-hmm.
To
so
get
you can
more
get a
people
gem,
to play.
So you can build a, you know, whatever.
Right.
Well, because it's a different skill set. There's a lot of things. They did say that people were asking to be scribes, and that's never going to happen because they said scrolls, you know, to make scrolls is just like making potions.
Yeah. Right.
And they don't want to, it's too repetitive.
What about map making? I knew map making was one of the things they were talking about for a while where they were saying, hey, you could go to new places and you could create maps and stuff like that. But now they just have universal maps for everything and you just discover new areas.
Yeah, he didn't mention it, and I don't think that it
Your
was
maps,
something.
The maps that you instantly get, every time you hit map, they're pretty extensive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but originally the map making was going to be a skill.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
And I think
they're
going to
have...
keeping it so they can release.
Mm. I thought they were going to have like user maidies and stuff, but you know, I guess they didn't want to go down that path.
Well, that got... That was pretty good in Star Wars Galaxies, but it ended up being... Crazy. So, yeah. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Oh, no. Anyway, so they have... So, basically, now when you go into a raid, if you get a purple item, you're going to get what is called Nexus Crystals. And they're new, and they're supposed to... And they showed the attributes on there. I was trying to write them down as quickly as I can, but they have really kick-ass attributes.
And these you'll be able to slot in...
Yeah, it'll basically be the equivalent of a purple item.
Okay, so you can get these Nexus crystals and then create your own
purple item. Your
purple
own
items, schmancy swords.
What do they call that? Epic item.
Epic item.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
And that's not something you could do before. When you go on a raid, if you disenchanted something, it turned into just a normal crystal or something, from what I understand.
Right.
And it was, you know, people were like, that sucks.
Yeah.
Because that's so much harder to go into a raid.
Right.
So people were really excited about that.
I've just killed the hugest dragon in the entire world. You get a Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Basically.
Exactly. They're going to make a whole bunch of new recipes for a lot of stuff that are coming out with the new... With the new game and stuff. The other thing that you're going to be able to do with enchanting is you're going to be able to enchant oils.
Hmm.
And your oils will be able to be applied to weapons. Any weapon.
Oh, that's funky. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, you know, like
so the enchanters out there are about ready to get a whole new boost.
Right.
Yeah.
Like being able to create new items is now, you know, you just finding the typical item out there is now evolving into player-made items and
abilities. That's cooler to me.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is
I think. And then you can really sort of make a tailor-made item and then sell it for a lot more.
See, that's the thing. Is they want it. They want the people who are doing that to be able to market it and be able to take it to players and make stuff just for particular players or, you know, different things like that.
Just the way you
play.
They
have a lot of these level 60 players who are...
Bored out of
their... They got the same stuff.
They do. And I think that's what they're trying to do is they're trying to get people more into professions.
Right.
And that was the one that I sat in and listened to the most. And everybody... That was the most crowded one I went into.
Which was... What was the name of it?
Professions and items.
Oh, okay.
Everybody was in there wanting to know... What kind of new items and, you know, I mean, everybody wanted to know about that.
What are they doing to sort of boost the characters? Because that was the other thing that I saw was that they were saying the characters were boring and people were constantly the same character, same skill set, same everything.
Yeah, that was, I know that they have talked forever just on the hunter side about, you know, making it to where we can totally customize our pet and that still has never happened.
Hmm.
And so I don't know whether that's happening or not because they have two of these things going on at one time and you have to pick one to go to.
But they definitely need a boost in the character creation process because really once you've made your six characters or seven characters, you've made them all.
Yeah.
There's no very, like if, you know, if Matt and I join the server and we both want to be dwarven fighters or warriors, we look the same, but not only that, but we act pretty much exactly the same. There's there's no, and that's kind of a drag.
I mean, eventually we might get different weapons and specialize in a different way, but that doesn't have to level 20.
Right, exactly.
So it's like you don't really sort of get into your character until they're
You don't 20. Have that personal connection because you don't feel like you've made it. You feel like Blizzard's made it for
you. I mean, I'm glad that they've gone the way that they've gone.
Makes things easier.
I mean, everything about the game is coming first. Let's get the gameplay correct.
Yeah.
And then, you know, character development is... Finally, last
it may not ever be out until Warcraft 2 comes out.
That's true.
In
I mean,
six
the thing
years.
Is, and they're also supposed to have personal quests and stuff like that that are supposed to come along.
I think one of the funniest things that he said was that I thought was funny is that they had to reduce fishing. The
because
point,
nobody wants to fish?
No, because people were macroing fishing
forever,
walking away from their computer and fishing.
Right, yeah.
I didn't realize people were
for
doing
years?
That.
No, they just they, you know, forever. They create a character, they hit a macro that for fish, they walk away for 3-4 days, come back, and they've got, you know,
800 fish.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he had to, he was really upset. The guy that was in charge of this guy gives him the presentation, and he was like, I can't even tell you what my day was like the day that I had to reduce the amount of bonus that you got for fishing. Because here I created this whole thing, and people were just... He really was bitter about it. He was just
over time, he should have done it.
Yeah.
So, like, if you fish for a half hour, then you're getting nothing.
Yeah. Like, they said that they were doing that, actually, in Korea, actually, for the game, period.
Yeah. We've already talked about that.
Why? Because there were so many cheats going on?
No. They're limiting your character. If you play for... I think it's in China.
Yeah, it's for 2 hours. If you play for more than 2 hours, then your actual experience goes down.
Yeah. Remember the Chinese government's trying to...
No, the Korean guy who died.
Yeah.
No, but the Chinese government are requiring games to have these limitations so that their people will not become addicted and they won't waste valuable time of their lives
like
playing video games.
They're taking time off work and not going to work and playing the game.
Crazy.
So are you...
Chinese
you think
can't
it was,
do nothing half-assed, and I'm Chinese.
Are you... do you think it was worth the time, money going? Would you do it again or would you...
I would do it again.
Would you like them to see something different?
The only thing that was really hard was they do have a store there, a Blizzard store, and I would have liked to have gotten some things, but they ran out of stuff.
Well, you also got the cool T-shirt with everybody who signed it.
Yes, I did. I did. The part of my swag that came in my bag was two T-shirts, and I took them up to the autograph table where all of the developer people are, and I had them, which one of them I gave to you.
That's cool.
Yeah, is signed by all of the guys that were there.
Yeah,
very cool.
I got it. Ha ha.
We'll take a picture of you.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
So we have one other thing to talk about with you.
Yeah.
I don't know the details.
Okay.
But I think I will.
I'm going to give a little preface. Well, I'm going to actually go backwards in time from the BlizzCon.
Okay.
How long ago? We met 5 years ago. So Sean and I are sort of estranged cousins, and we met five years ago.
Right.
And I met her when she was...
We all have strange cousins, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, no, I think he said estranged.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
not
oh,
strange.
Oh, no, although she is that too.
Ouch.
Oh. But we met, and she was married to a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, and this is my guilt... Because I was the voice of Illidan on Warcraft, mm-hmm. I got him into Warcraft and then basically said, you have to pick up this game, World of Warcraft.
Right.
And so I feel like an entry drug that has gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Okay. Because I bought him this.
Because
this
she
game
bought
for Christmas.
Her husband.
So you bought your husband as a gift, World of Warcraft.
Yes.
Got it.
I did.
And then what happened?
And he really liked it, and I really liked it, which I kind of figured I would anyway. We were kind of like, ooh, you have to pay for this. But then when you saw how much you could play and what you could do, it was like, oh, it's worth it.
Right.
So we both logged in, and I was an Alliance character, and he was a Horde character.
But, of course, you couldn't play together because you had one computer and one...
No, we had two computers.
Oh, you did. So you did play together sometimes.
Sometimes we did. Sometimes. But I'm pretty much with the Alliance. I've always been a Night Elf. You know, I'm loyal to my cousin.
So, strangely enough, you both created characters on opposite sides.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get into...
That's bizarre.
We actually came up with a psyche. What were we talking about? The sort of... What character you played delineates sort of who you are as a person.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it...
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there.
All right.
Okay,
so... what happened?
Okay, well, we played for quite a while, and I was always kind of behind because I didn't spend as much time on the game as he did. But he'd always spent a lot of time on games, especially Warcraft. He was still playing Warcraft 3.
Right.
And he had friends, but he got to where he was playing it a lot. And, you know, I'm sure every widow who has ever had a Warcraft husband play the game knows what I'm talking about.
Like,
it just becomes, it's just constant. And, you know, he had plenty of people that we were playing with, and he had a guild that he was a part of, and he had a lot of fun with them. And I would just come in and talk to him.
But it was getting a little heavy. Like, he was playing
him
too much.
He was playing all the time.
Okay. Yeah.
He was getting really heavy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he went away for a trip, a work trip that he did, and he was gone for like a month and a half. And then he came back, and he said, the day that he came back, he said, I need to talk to you. Actually, he came in, he gave me a shot of aftershock.
All right.
I was kind of like, And so we...
Liquor.
Like, yeah.
Oh, it's a liquor.
Yeah, it's called aftershock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so he gave you that first?
Yes.
So he gave you a belt.
Yeah, he gave me a belt, and he said, I think you're going to need this. And then he said, why don't you sit
down?
He's
such a moron. Oh, God.
All right, keep going.
And so we go into his office where I'm just like, you know, hey, can I have a kiss and a hug? And he's like, well, let's just talk. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, I don't know how to say this, but I want a divorce. And I was like, what? And he goes, I've met someone else. And it took a while, but basically the someone else that he met was on World of Warcraft. In his guild.
Okay, now you have to tell her race.
She was an undead rogue.
She's an undead rogue. I mean, I can understand if it's the night elf and you're falling in love with the night elf. Kind of. Maybe there's an iota of sense.
So,
yeah.
So he had met her and then this...
Or maybe the human girl, because the humans are pretty...
Yes. Yeah. So this trip was a meet and greet.
Well, basically, that's what I was trying to figure out was that's what I thought. I thought, okay, so you went on this trip and you met her out there. And he said, no, I called her for the first time. I said, you called her? And he said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, then, because he had been playing, let's see, this was in May. Mm-hmm. So he had been playing the game since December.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably started playing with his guild in like January. So they had been playing for months mm-hmm. online. And talking and chatting, and they always played together. I knew her character name. I knew right. that he played with her all the time.
Right.
I mean, it didn't, you know, I didn't realize he was really playing with her. I thought that
right.
playing the game. But
anyway.
So it took a while to get this all out of him, but basically he started talking to her on, you know, the phone, and then they started having phone sex on the phone. Yeah.
So at least he wasn't, like, typing the crap in Warcraft.
I think that they were doing that originally.
That's so wrong.
You can whisper for a reason.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Didn't he get married?
Yes, he told me at one point that they were going to have a World of Warcraft wedding.
No!
Yes, he did.
No, that's so wrong.
This is like several days
after. So you are a World of Warcraft widow,
really,
straight out.
For real, I am the real
story
deal.
Ain't over.
Oh, no.
That's crazy.
I mean, I'll try to talk fast. So it's been like a week and I'm, you know, going around the house, going out of my mind. He's talking to her at like 1 o'clock in the morning because she works nights. She works at a resort in Florida someplace.
Right.
Okay. And so he's talking to her and that's when they're doing their thing on the phone. And I'm just, we're trying to cohabitate. We're in separate rooms. And I go into a closet and I find this stuffed animal. And I'm thinking, what is this? This is like a stuffed bear or something like that. And it's like with a bunch of other, like, you know, you kind of know, like candles and different things like that.
You've been with this guy
in
for
a bag.
Long time.
And I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, I've never seen this stuff before. And I'm thinking, oh, this is crap from this girl.
Right.
So I open it up and it's a horse, a stuffed horse. Mm-hmm. And it's got a certificate with it. And its name is Sugar.
Right.
And it's the kind that you make in like the mall.
Yeah, like the Build-A-Bear kind
of thing. Yeah, okay, right.
He built this on the phone with her. While he was on his frickin' trip. It's her mount from the frickin' game.
He
built her mount from the game named Sugar.
I was just like...
I mean, come on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Somebody needs to have...
Didn't he have the heart and he kept it in
his
pocket?
He did. He didn't put the heart in the thing. He had it in his pocket because, see, I'd seen, like, earlier whenever I had met him on this trip... I had actually gone out to meet him because that was when I went to visit your parents.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and so I went out there, and he had this heart, and he took it out with his change, and I said, what's with the little heart? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it.
That's Sugar's heart.
Yeah, I had no idea.
That's Sugar's heart.
This guy is real. I mean, I've heard of being into Warcraft, but that's just totally
so
wrong.
Anyway, I asked to see the picture of her. And, you know, he showed me this great picture.
So you're torturing yourself now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Because,
oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I have no shame.
Now, is this a picture of her character or really her?
It was supposed to be really her.
Right.
Okay. 110 pounds, dark-headed, cute chick.
Right.
I was like, well, damn. You know, I am 8 years older than him. Okay. So I was going on, and he kept saying he was going to go down and meet her. So he went down to go meet her, and I'm still trying to figure out how to get out of the house.
So he still hasn't met her?
He still hasn't. He's never met her.
Never met her.
Never met her. Okay.
But he's getting
months
sugar.
Yeah, he's getting sugar. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So he goes down there to meet her, and I find out that he spends all this time in a hotel. He's down there for days, rents a convertible. She won't see him.
Right. She's nervous.
She's not ready. She's not ready. I said, yeah, she's not ready because she hasn't lost the weight yet. Or she's still a man. One of the two.
That's the danger of the internet. You never know what's on the other side.
I know. So anyway, he came back. He was really disappointed. He was mad. He kept trying to meet up with her. He finally decides he's just going to go down there and not tell her he's coming.
Right.
He goes down there, and he comes up to the door, and she gets off work at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And he'd been talking to her on the phone, but didn't tell her, hey, I'm right here. He goes up to the door, and he told me all this. And he said, knocked on the door, and she opened the door. And he said, are you Aaron? And she said, yeah. And he said, hi, I'm Frank. And she went, oh, fuck, and slammed the door in his face. And he said she wasn't quite 300 pounds, but she was pretty close. And he said he just started laughing. So, and he went and got in his little car and drove back.
This guy's a piece of work, man.
Yeah.
You know what? You get, you know.
And the funny thing was, is, you know, whenever I moved away, I moved to out of state, and I was just like, you know, I told him, I said, there's something not right about that.
There's something not right about pretty much everything you said.
Everything you said. I mean, Sean, there's no one point where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, then he derailed, you know?
I know. And we were, and I do want to state that we were married for 6 years. Uh-huh. So this wasn't, you know, I had no clue.
So watch out. That game, well Evercrack, of course, has many widows under their...
A sordid story, I'm
and
sure.
I know one. Don knows one. Yeah. I mean... the internet is addictive in many ways. People chat rooms. All it is a chat room.
Yeah.
I mean, World of Warcraft is a chat room that gives you some extra activities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all it is.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's the same thing. That's crazy talk.
Well, I gave up the game for a while, and then Matt pointed out to me. He was just like, oh, yeah.
Don't listen to Matt.
It's the game's fault.
It's addicted.
It's not your stupid freaking ass's fault.
I would take the game if I were you, and I would trash it.
Yeah. No, actually, the game was really good. That's why I.
That's why
I went to BlizzCon. I was like, oh, hell no, am I going to listen?
Do you not meet anybody on there?
No. No.
We'll send Matt over to kick your ass.
Yeah, exactly. I'll kick your ass.
Yeah.
All righty.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much,
Sean.
No problem.
That's crazy.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Hey, no problem.
It's fun to share, you know, your little experience like that. Woo-hoo.
Well, we're going to put your pictures up on our site as soon as possible so we can see a little glimpse of BlizzCon. And I don't know, maybe we can go next year.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Cool.
StarCraft Ghost, they looks like they got some really great stuff if it ever
comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
thank you.
Have a good trip back.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was interesting.
It was like a time.
I didn't know any of that.
It was like a time warp. It only took seconds for us.
Fascinating.
So you have some mail?
Yeah, I got some mail. So first of all, Peter mentioned it earlier on with this guy who's putting up a link basically so that you can check out where all the geeks who listen to Geeks On are. It's www.frapper, which is frappr.com/geeksOn.
This thing is so cool.
Yeah. And you can really see where all our listeners are. And it's really, really, really
and you can start
phenomenal.
Your own. I think I'm going to start one of mine personally for all the restaurants in Los Angeles that I like because all my friends are constantly wanting to know where they are. So
that's a great idea.
Yeah. So that's
you want to out yourself that way, man? Because, I mean, the whole point is that you're a secret source.
Hey.
And we don't want people going to these things.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't need more people knowing about Yai.
I'm only going to tell you guys.
Okay.
What's great about this is we can share things with each other, and we can find out places. And it's great. Date night. Time to go someplace.
That's right.
Try something new.
All right. Dan Williams wrote us, and he said he wondered if there are any podcasts like Geeks On that we can recommend. Don't worry. Your show will always be first. Dan.
Well, I think we were going to... We still have to talk about our listeners' podcast, and I haven't been able to listen to all of them, so we're going to have to postpone that. And also, during that same episode, we should all talk about podcasts that we listen to and have found, because I've got a couple on my list.
So we'll do a
cool.
show on it, and we'll make sure that we get to you, and we'll let you know.
Yes.
Also, Chris Sargent wrote us. He said he found our podcast through The Signal. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
His son, who's 7, soon to be 8, really digs Talisman. Which, as you understand, you know, we love too.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to know if he could recommend any other board games of that type that might appeal to a younger player.
Dungeon, if he can still find it.
I loved it
when I was that age.
I think there's also Dungeon Twister, which is out now, which is very popular and I think is definitely geared toward the younger crowd.
Yeah, and
as
he
well.
Wants to indoctrinate the kid in a D&D and Serenity RPG if he wants to. But 7 or 8 is a little young for D&D, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, I'd say
so.
Close.
I mean, if it's his dad, he can custom make it.
Could be a lot of
fun. Yeah, I mean, the most role playing games really the
you
game
see a polywhirl sitting on a chest of gold.
Game masters are the only people who need to really know the rules of most role playing games.
True.
But if you go to BoardGameGeek.com, of course, they've got a whole bunch of listings there, and you can post and ask for, and you'll get thousands of people. But also, if you go to, there's a podcast called have games will travel, and I think he did a whole episode about games for children, and you should go and check that
out.
Nice. And invite him.
Very nice.
Philippe Bisson from Canada, I believe, and he's in Quebec City. He basically said he loved us. He wanted to thank us for the horror movie podcast very specifically. He loved the vomit story. People love this story.
And they all thought Aaron said it.
Yeah, they all did.
Every last man, woman, and child who wrote in thought it was Aaron.
No, Matt is the nervous kid who vomits all over everything. So he also said he'd heard us mention it before, but he hadn't heard all the podcasts. But we should check it out. The Christopher Reeves Foundation started selling Superman dog tags, and the proceeds go to research into spinal cord injuries.
Nice.
It's kind of geekiness for a cause, so they're pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We should put that link on our site.
We'll do that. He has the link here. I'll give it to Peter, and he'll make sure that we end up with it
Super
on
Peter.
The site.
I real quickly want to address Will on our website, who gave me quick three-question Star Trek quiz.
Uh-oh.
That I couldn't even... I mean, I could have looked it up, but I didn't... I think that would have been cheating.
That's cheating.
I couldn't get them. I mean, seriously.
What were the questions?
All right, no cheating. If you want to try...
One was...
Put them on the
what
forums.
Was the captain's name of Chakotay's ship before it went
Ow.
Over? Yeah. And I thought it was like Ensign Roe, the woman with the
nose.
Yeah, it wasn't her, but it was somebody like her who we'd seen before. I could have sworn, but what was Geordi LaForge's parents' occupations? And
really?
Who was the voice? Who did the voice for the M5 computer on the original Star Trek? And I couldn't remember if that was a woman's voice or a man's voice.
That's not Major Roddenberry.
There was Nurse Chapel.
I know she did it for the ship,
yeah.
But I don't think she did it for the M5 computer, the one that took over. I'm not absolutely sure. That was my only guess, but anyway.
I'm out geeked. I'm not a Trekkie.
Sorry, Will, you stumped me big time.
Wow. And last but not least, Adam Talcott just wanted to say he discovered podcasting in the Geeks On podcast a few months ago. Geeks On was just one of the many podcasts I started listening to, but I've narrowed down the podcast on my playlist to just a handful, and Geeks On is on top.
Woohoo!
Can't get enough of the show. He found himself several episodes behind. Geeks On is currently the only podcast he listens to on his shuffle. So he said we take him back, and... He says, I don't have the opportunity to talk about these things anymore. And while I'm grateful my wife puts up with all my hobbies, she's not a geek, so we don't get into deep conversations about these things. Though she did enjoy watching all the Star Wars movies and all 5 seasons of Babylon 5, so that's a good start.
It's funny.
Yeah, really.
So many of our married geeks, like, it's not that they so much want to share it with their spouses so much as just be tolerated.
Please, please love me still.
So thanks for letting us all take part in your intelligent and funny discourse on important geek topics like this one. Keep up the great work, and you can be sure I'll continue listening. All the best, Adam. And while I may be one of the few people who did enjoy episode 3, I also found your parody of it to be one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time. We might do a parody doing the 400 words Serenity
thing very
that's
nice.
Online. I think we should do that.
We should ask.
I just want to thank Jim, one of our listeners and forum contributors, for helping put up the new forums.
Yeah.
It was
Which
his
fabu.
I mean, he was great. He sat down with me today for an hour and helped talk me through some of the stuff that would have taken me hours otherwise.
Great.
And it's
awesome.
Up, and we're going to be putting it up probably later on this
Woo-hoo!
Evening by the time
Fantastic.
The podcast's up.
I have one quick geek link. This is a Flash game that is extremely addictive. It's called Gravity, and you have to go to the link because there's a couple games called Gravity, but this is a simple physics Flash game where there's a planet on a board, which is just a dot, and then you put a particle somewhere in space, and you have a timer that you have to keep the particle alive before it crashes to the planet. And it starts out with just one planet, and you put the particle there, and it starts going toward the planet and hits. Hopefully, you can keep it alive long enough to get to the next stage. Then there's two planets, and you have to figure out where to place it before the two gravity pulls pull up one or the other. In fact, the planets will even start pulling together. Then three planets, four planets, they're all positioned in different places, and you have to try to keep this particle in space. At first, you're like, click, click, click. And I was like on there 20 minutes going, damn it, can't keep these particles alive.
But it's the geekiest game ever.
It's
That's
really
great.
Cool. It, you know, it's a great little physics engine. So check it out. We'll put a link to it on our site.
Nice.
Excellent.
Anything else?
Nope.
I think that's it.
I think that's it. Cool. Cool episode.
All right.
Rocking love talking about that type of stuff.
Excellent.
All right. See y'all next week.
Have a good geek next week.
Week.
Do we know what we're doing?
No.
It's a mystery.
It is a mystery.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
Geek it out.